Will you pray with me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And so, Father, we thank you for family. Just a sweet service this morning as we celebrate Jose, Laura, Gabriel. We give thanks to you for adding John and Jane and John and Grace to us. And we thank you for the privileges to partner with those you send out from us to do your work all over the globe. We thank you for the Thomases and pray for their encouragement and refreshment in you. And God, we also bring to you the things that are on our hearts and on our minds. Cassie Ipple still in the hospital, and we pray for your mercy. Many battling their bodies or their minds. On top of that, God, we each have our own frustrations. We're angry. We're scared. We're sad. Whether it's because of things that we're encountering or it's things we're encountering in our family or in our city or in our world, God, would you draw near to us? Would you give grace to us? Would you soothe our anxious hearts with your presence and your grace? And would you do that, God, through your word? As we turn now to it, would we receive comfort and grace and know you are with us? For we pray in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh. We pray in his name. Amen. People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. If you're using the Black Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, you can find our text on page 33. Page 33. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's just 23 verses, so when you get there, or if you're using the screen, we'll have the text up there as well. If you're able, would you please stand with us for the reading of God's Word? At home, too, if you're able, please stand with us for the reading of God's Word. Genesis 39, page 33. I'll read the whole chapter. Family, this is the Word of our Holy God. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He's put everything that he has in my charge. He's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he's brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. As soon as he heard, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." She laid up his garment by her until his master came home. She told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Family, this is the word of our Lord. Let's pray and give thanks to him for it. Will you pray with me? Indeed, Father, we thank you for your word and that you are pleased to reveal yourself to us in it. God, we want to see you. We want to know you. We want to love you. We want to love like you. So Spirit, grant us grace. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? In the Old Testament book called Job, it opens up with Job losing almost everything. Raiders invade his property and take his livestock and kill his workers. Lightning strikes and burns up all of his sheep. And then a storm crashes upon his son's house. At his son's house where all of his kids, all their families are together celebrating so that everybody dies. And then at last, boils, painful boils, show up on Job's skin. Painful sores covering his whole body. Job loses everything. His family, his wealth, even his health. Job sitting among the ashes. He's in such pain, he's got these broken pieces of pottery that he's using to scrape the sores on his body. And his wife comes to him exasperated. She says, "Do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die." Job says to her, "Shall we receive good from God and not also evil? Shall we receive good from God and not also evil?" I'm so glad that the translators of the ESV, that's the Pew Bible that we use, I'm so glad they translate the original Hebrew this word, because it's really disruptive to us, isn't it? Because we today, we read this word evil pretty narrowly, right? Evil for us means something wicked, right? Of the devil, right? In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the term evil is actually much broader than that. It simply refers to hard things. Calamity, other translations translate here. Disaster, anything tough to endure. And as you read through the book of Job in general, one of the major themes in the book of Job is God's sovereign rule over all things, even hard things, disaster, calamity, even evil. God is above all things. God reigns over all things. He alone is God. He alone is sovereign. He alone reigns over everything, even down to the smallest details of our life. Jesus says, "A sparrow doesn't die apart from the will of God. You don't lose hair apart from the will of God." When we sit and wrestle with God's sovereignty over all things, over every detail, the sovereign rule of God, it can expose our hearts. It can reveal our hearts. It tests us. It proves our faith. You see this in Job's wife. God's sovereign hand over all things, it exposes her lack of faith, right? "Curse God and die," she says. It exposes her weak faith or even lack of faith. But with Job, God's hand, even over suffering, it proves his faith. It reveals his faith. It tests it. It refines it. It grows his faith. Shall we not receive good from God and also evil? God's sovereign hand over all things tests, proves, refines, grows our faith in God. And that's what we see in Joseph in our text this morning. We see God's presence and blessing, but we also see God leading him into hardship. God sends Joseph to prison. And all of this tests, proves, reveals, grows Joseph's faith. So what about you, family? How are you responding to life right now? Whether you're experiencing a season of blessing and peace and celebration, or maybe you're going through something really hard, excruciating, overwhelming. What is God revealing to you about your heart in this season? What's God showing you about your own faith through life right now? How is your faith being exposed, revealed, tested, proved, refined? Whatever you're enduring in life right now, good or evil, blessing or hardship, how is life right now turning you more and more toward Jesus? Our text this morning reminds us that God rules over all things. And his sovereign rule over all things reveals our hearts to us and calls us to trust him more and more. Let's jump into our text this morning. In our text this morning, we're going to see God blesses, God tests, and God saves. May God reveal to us more of our own hearts and faith so we might trust Jesus even more. God blesses, God tests, God saves. Let's start this morning with God blesses. In the New Testament book called James, James reminds us every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. Comes down from the Father of lights with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. All good gifts, everything good ultimately comes from God, ultimately comes from our Heavenly Father. And our text shows this really explicitly this morning. All good things, even the success that we have in life, ultimately comes from God. God blesses. Look at verse 2 in our text. I just want to take a moment. We're going to go all the way through chapter 39 again and just look at all these places where God's word reminds us that all good comes from God. So, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. He became a successful man. Verse 3, the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and in field. You go to the end, verse 21, even in prison, the Lord is with Joseph, shows love to Joseph, gives favor to Joseph. And finally, verse 23, there's this summary statement of the whole chapter. The Lord was with Joseph, and whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it succeed. Do you see that? Who made it succeed? The Lord did. All good things ultimately come from God, ultimately come from our Father. God blesses. In this, there's an old Civil War movie called Shenandoah. Jimmy Stewart plays this character, Charlie Anderson. There's this great scene at dinner where Charlie prays. I just want to read you this prayer. I love this prayer from Charlie Anderson. He says this, "Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel. But we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen." I love that. I mean, in some ways, Charlie's missed the whole point, hasn't he? God gave the rain. God made the seed grow. God gave them health to work the land. As they're about to eat, it's God who makes our bodies work together with the food, converting the calories and nutrients into energy and health. All good things come from God. God blesses. And now, of course, and here I think Charlie's prayer is accurate in this, God blessing and giving us all good things, it doesn't mean we sit around and not do anything, right? Well, I'll just wait for God to act, right? Charlie's prayer is accurate in that God's goodness calls us to work hard. Joseph gets that in our text, right? He's faithful precisely because he believes that God blesses. And so we work, so we act, so we do, so we endeavor, but also knowing that ultimately any good that comes from our effort, it's only the result of God's blessing. God blesses, all blessing comes from our Heavenly Father. God blesses. The question that I'm wrestling with this morning, though, is this. What does this have to do with revealing our heart or exposing our faith or our lack of faith? Well, look at verses 8 and 9. Potiphar's wife here is attempting to seduce Joseph. And I want us to look at Joseph's reply. What's he say? "My master has put everything he has in my charge. Even the master's not greater in this house than me. He's not kept anything back from me except you because you're his wife. I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against God." Back when we began last fall our study in this book called Genesis, we saw our first parents in the garden. And we see a really similar circumstance, right? God gives them everything for their enjoyment. They can eat of any tree in the garden, except one. Joseph here is replaying, in some ways, the very temptation of the Garden of Eden. And this is where we see that God's blessing exposes our hearts. Adam and Eve see the one thing God has withheld from them. And that's the one thing that they want then. God's blessing, what God had given to them, well, it just wasn't enough. But with Joseph, we see the opposite. Joseph's content with God's blessing. Joseph trusts God when the Lord withholds something from him. And content with God's blessing, he trusts God when the Lord withholds from him. And so, family, the challenge for us this morning is this. Do you trust the Lord with what he has chosen not to give to you. We've all got unfulfilled desires. We all have unmet hopes and expectations and dreams. God has not given you everything that you want. But he has blessed you, hasn't he? Are you content with what God has given you? And will you trust him with what he's not given to you, with what he's withheld from you? Or instead, is your heart frustrated, disappointed, unsatisfied because of all that we don't have? It's here that God's blessing exposes our heart and reveals our faith, our trust or our lack of trust in God's goodness and kindness to his people. It's interesting here too, isn't it? Gratitude seems to be one of the weapons that Joseph uses to overcome temptation. Content with God's blessing, satisfied with what God doesn't give to him, trusting his heavenly Father with what God withholds from him, and it's that gratitude, it's that contentment that enables him to overcome temptation. God blesses, and his blessing exposes our hearts, reveals our hearts. So we read through Genesis 39. It's easy to see as we read this, right? It's easy to see all of the ways God blesses Joseph in our text. But it's not all blessing, is it? In your life and my life, they're certainly not filled only with blessing and happy things, are they? Sometimes God sends us hard things. And in our text, God sends Joseph to prison. An innocent man, falsely accused, God sends him to prison. Which brings us to our next point this morning. God tests. God tests. All has not been rainbows and unicorns for Joseph. He's sold by his own brothers into slavery. In Psalm 105, it describes these events in Joseph's life like this. Here's Psalm 105, 17 to 18. Joseph is sold as a slave, his feet hurt with fetters, his neck put in a collar of iron. This doesn't sound like blessing, does it? I mean, this is real suffering. And then, simply because God blesses him, right? He's attractive. The text wants you to be really clear. It's not just his face, right? His face and his body, he's attractive. Simply because God blesses his appearance, he's falsely accused and sent to prison. And remember, Joseph's a slave at this time. Joseph has no rights. There's no trial. There's no evidence presented. There's no witnesses. There's no lawyers to defend him. There's no judge or jury, no higher court to appeal to. There's no recourse for Joseph for any justice whatsoever. He's simply thrown into prison. And yet, verse 21, the Lord is with him. The Lord's covenant love, his steadfast, faithful commitment to his people, the Lord's love is with him. His Spirit's a comfort to Joseph. His word. Joseph grows up in the family hearing God's promise to Abraham and Isaac passed down to him. He grows up hearing that word of God from his family. God gave him these dreams that is like God's word to him. Joseph is comforted by the presence and word of the Lord, even as he sits falsely accused in prison. No hope of rescue, no hope of justice, no hope of anything. Here's what I want us to wrestle with this morning. God put Joseph in prison. God sent him to prison. I need you to sit in this family and let it disrupt you. This is God's plan. And I know most of us, maybe all of us, we have this objection that, God allowed it, right? Or we say things like, God's gonna turn this into good. God's somehow gonna use it. Family, I want you to wrestle with stronger language than that. God sends Joseph to prison. It was his plan. Psalm 105, we go back here, tells us explicitly. Here's the Bible telling us what happens. God sends a man ahead of his people into Egypt. God sends Joseph to Egypt when his brother sells him as a slave. God sends Joseph to prison when Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. And lest we're like, we're part of it. Look how it starts. When God summons a famine. We have real difficulty with this, don't we? It just doesn't fit our neat little boxes where we have God all figured out and safe and understood. And of course, right, I'll say many of you need me to remind you, God doesn't sin. The Bible's clear, God doesn't cause anyone to sin. He doesn't make the brothers sell Joseph into slavery. He doesn't make Potiphar's wife seduce Joseph or lie about him. And yet the Bible's also clear at the very same time, God ordains whatsoever comes to pass. God governs and preserves all his creatures, all their actions. We keep coming back to this in our study of Genesis. It's fundamental, family. This is fundamental to our trust in our sovereign God. And the example we keep coming back to remind you, we see it at the cross of Jesus. It was always God's plan for Jesus to die. God sends Jesus to the cross. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a surprise. God doesn't see Judas betray Jesus and say, oh no, now what am I going to do? God planned it. He ordained it. God sends Jesus to the cross for our salvation. Again, there's all kinds of questions we have. There's all kinds of consequences. We're like, well, what about this? How do you do that? If you can, just set this aside for just a moment and simply sit in God's sovereign rule over all things and let that sovereignty expose your heart. God ordains all things. Let it reveal your faith, your trust, or your lack of trust in God, in his character, in his goodness, in his love. Let God's sovereign rule over all things, even hard things. Let it expose, reveal, test, prove, refine your faith. Psalm 105 says God sends Joseph to prison and uses this language, the word of the Lord tested him. God's testing Joseph. God's revealing Joseph's faith. This is the same language that we see Genesis use in chapter 22 about Abraham and Isaac. The text of Genesis 22 starts like this. After these things, God tested Abraham and said, go sacrifice your son. Go kill your son, God says. This isn't a temptation, right? God testing our faith, it means he's exposing our hearts. He's revealing, he's refining, he's proving our faith. And that's what we see with Joseph here. Faithful in a little at Potiphar's house. Faithful in a little in prison. Later, he's going to be put in charge of much. Joseph here, we see his trust in the Lord. He doesn't pout. He doesn't wallow. I mean, this is what I do. Falsely accused, sitting in prison. I'd be like, I can't believe God did this to me. Can you believe that this happened? Right? Gather our friends together and we wallow and mourn and we pout and we complain. What does Joseph do? He just works hard. He maintains trust in the Lord. He keeps clinging to the goodness of God, even when he can't see it. Right? Joseph, at the end of our chapter, he's still in prison. He doesn't know like we do he's about to be promoted. All he knows, he was sold by his brothers. He was faithful. He obeyed the Lord and was cast into prison for it. God here is with Joseph. Hardship testing his faith, revealing his heart, just like it does for us. Hardship exposes those places in us where we don't trust God. Where we don't believe God. It proves and refines us to grow our trust in Jesus so we might turn more and more to him. We see this all throughout the Bible. Job, Abraham. Here in a couple of weeks, Andrew Brown, our youth director, is going to preach on James 1. How does James 1 start? Consider it pure joy, sisters and brothers, when you encounter the testing of your faith. Why? Because it produces perfection. It makes us complete in Jesus. That's Joseph here. God's sovereignty in our suffering, his testing of our faith, his ordaining whatsoever comes to pass. If we can, even just for a moment, set aside all the questions we have about implications, how does this work? How can God be holy and ordain all things and evil persist? These questions matter, but if we can set them aside for just a moment, the sovereignty of God over all things, even your suffering, is incredible comfort. Consider, family, because this is what the Bible tells us. God is working all things, even your suffering, for his own glory, for the good of his church, and for your eternal salvation. When we read the Heidelberg Catechism question, number one, that's what we say, isn't it? God works all things together for my salvation. Your suffering's not an accident. It's not a surprise to the Lord. He's not up there trying to figure out, oh my goodness, how do I turn your lemons into lemonade? Family, God is with you and he's for you. And even this suffering that you're in, this horrible, hard thing that you've endured, even your suffering, God has ordained for his glory, the good of his church, and listen, for your eternal salvation. God tests our hearts. God tests our faith. And through that testing, sometimes it's through really, really, it feels like impossibly hard things. But God's working those things for your eternal salvation. And that brings us to our last point this morning. God blesses, God tests, God saves. The Bible's clear, God works all things for his glory, for the good of his church, and again, hear this family, for the eternal salvation of his people. We get a glimpse of that here in Joseph. Remember before Joseph ends up at Potiphar's house, he gets this set of dreams when he's still living at home. As you read your Bible early on in our faith history, this is how God reveals himself to the prophets. And so as any good prophet, what do you do when God has revealed himself to you in a dream? What's a prophet supposed to do? Go tell that word. And so he does. He tells his family about God's revelation. How does his family respond? Do you remember? Well, they respond the same way that Israel almost always responds to the prophets, with persecution. They throw him in a pit. They plot to kill him. And in the end, they sell him into slavery. Well, now we come to our chapter. He's in slavery under Potiphar. And under there, he endures incredible temptation. Look at verse 10. It's not a one-time temptation, right? Day after day after day. That's what verse 10 says. Every day pressured to compromise. Every day pressured by sexual temptation. Every day tempted to sin. And he never gives in. Never gives in. And then he's forcibly seized, right? She tries to force him. He's physically assaulted. And after that, he's falsely accused. He's thrown in prison. Why? Because of his righteousness. And then what we're going to see in a few weeks, he's going to be exalted. Prince over all of Egypt. That's the language of Psalm 105 again. Family, Joseph here is a picture to us of Jesus. The Old Testament prophet Obadiah, the very last verse of Obadiah, tells us that God will send his people saviors, plural. You see that in the book of Judges. If you read through the book of Judges, God sends rescuers, deliverers, saviors. And these rescuers, these saviors, all protect God's people, save them from various evils and hardships in this life. These saviors, they're all part of God's protection of his people as he's working out his plan to heal the world and gather to himself a people. And every one of those saviors points us to the ultimate savior, Jesus, the one true savior, even Jesus the Christ. Joseph points us to Jesus. Jesus as perfect prophet, the word becoming flesh. Jesus persecuted because he reveals God's word to God's people and they hate him for it. Jesus who is tempted in every way that we are and never gives in. Tempted in every way that we are, but without sin. Jesus who's falsely accused. Jesus who's unjustly tried and condemned so that through Jesus' later exaltation, he's raised from the dead, he's seated at the right hand of God. Through this Jesus, humiliated, suffering, dies, later exalted, through this Jesus, God's people are fully and finally saved. Joseph points us to Jesus. Joseph shows us Jesus. And by showing us Jesus, this text here calls us to more and more trust in Jesus. God saves, and he shows us his salvation here through Joseph. Joseph points us to Jesus and calls us to trust more and more in Jesus. And family, when we see Jesus in the Joseph story, it helps us see Jesus everywhere, in blessing and in testing, so that the more we see Jesus, the more we see his salvation, the more we'll put our trust and hope only in him. Every rescue, every help, no matter how small, reminds us of God's care for us, a care perfectly displayed at the cross. Every blessing, a picture of his provision and his love. Even hardship, the testing of our faith, the exposing of our hearts, even hardship testifies of God's salvation to us in Jesus Christ, because God's exposing, God's revealing, God's proving, God's refining our faith and turning us more and more to Jesus, preparing us for life in eternity with this Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would give us your grace to wrestle with these hard things. There are some here in our congregation who have endured unspeakable pain, overwhelming pain. And it's hard for us to wrestle with how on earth could you send that to us? And all the theology hoops we try to jump through because we want to preserve your holiness and protect your reputation. God, as we surrender and wrestle with your ordaining all things, would you comfort us? Would you expose where we don't trust your goodness and kindness? Would you remind us you really, really are working all things for your glory, for the good of your people, and for my salvation? God, we believe, help our unbelief. As we come to your table, God, would you comfort us with your word made tangible, eatable, tastable here? Jesus, feed your people. Turn our trust to you. We pray in your name. Amen.